Hello and welcome to the Winners Never Quit podcast, Series 5, Episode 5, back in Streamline Studios with the boys. How are we doing, lads? We good?
Excellent.
Yeah, very well.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Pretty pumped. Had a fantastic session at the gym with George and Dom, 4-5, one of our sponsors. And we've had a Nando's, of course, and now we're here to talk about the row and answer the final lot of questions from all you fabulous listeners. So I'll go with the first question. Now, I used to ask this to all my guests when I used to interview people, and I haven't done it so far on this series. So, boys, how do you define winning in your life? We're going to start with Brucey.
Yeah, I'd say defining what the objective is, that's reasonably challenging, so you know where the line is. So it's like it should be achievable, and then doing what it takes to achieve it, but not setting yourself a goal that's unachievable. Then you won't succeed in the goal.
So what determines whether you consider yourself a winner or not?
In that scenario? Doing what you set out to do. So and setting out to do the right thing.
The achievement of success and the selection of an appropriate goal.
Exactly.
Yeah. I keep mine more abstract, I think. Like, obviously, I aim high and attack goals in the same way as you, like choosing something that's just outside your comfort zone. Make sure that it's achievable. You think it's just about achievable, but it's going to stretch you. However, I try now to not beat myself up if I fall short of anything, because the thing that matters, and you can say it in the most cliche way you want, but it is about how hard you try. And so as long as I keep turning up and trying, I consider myself a winner, because the road to success is never linear, and you can have like multiple failures before you excel, or you can have a few successes and then a failure. And the one thing that you can control is your input metrics. And for me, it's just like, are you getting up and giving it a go every day, rather than, you know, is the world rewarding you for that effort yet?
I think it's important that you have the innate capacity to achieve the goal, though.
I agree, yeah.
To set a realistic
goal. Can't be a
goal.
Dreamer, can yeah. you?
And, yeah,
you
well...
You can if you've got the stones to back it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, like you said, it's got to be achievable. Like,
a goal without a plan is a dream, right?
Yeah. Like, I can dream all I want to play in the NBA, but it ain't going to fucking happen, you know? Never in a million years.
I can dream all I want to pull a higher wattage than Jack on the rowing machine, but it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Not unless he has another parachuting accident, yeah. Anyway.
Fingers crossed.
And then I dream. Yeah.
Fingers crossed he has a parachute accident, yeah, then yeah. I'll beat him. He's crippled again.
Make sure you pack your own kit on this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 12 months later, he'll beat me again. So.
What's your thoughts on it, Jack?
How do I define winning? It's very similar to ads. I think anything you do, if you give 100%, and you try your hardest, then you're a winner in like your own right. Because even when you lose or defeat, you know, Coach Kavanagh, Conor McGregor's coach, always says you either win or you learn. I think that's quite cool. Yeah,
that sums it up quite nicely.
I also like thinking that your 100% isn't the same 100% every single day. Like, you know, external factors happen in your life. It's okay to be sad and have things going the wrong way. Like, sometimes you can only give, you know, you can only give 50%. The question is, are you going to give that full 50%, you know? And on other days, you're on fire and you can just give 110. Yeah. So, yeah.
Like when I had a parachute accident, obviously, I couldn't give it my all 100%, mate, so I had to make up for it today.
No, we had some good chats when you off the back of that, because I remember you distinctly saying to me, you're in the midst of it and you were like, really upset, and you were like, life sucks, I can't walk, like everything's shit. However, like, this is part of the process. I know it's part of the process. All I can do is get up and do my rehab. And the thing that struck me about your rehab, which was more impressive than anything else, was the fact that you got up at 6 a.m. to do it.
Yeah. Like,
you're in the gym at 6 every day. So unnecessary. You had nothing else to do. Yeah. Why are you in the gym at 6? Yeah. Just go at midday a normal person. But you were like, no, I'm doing my rehab. I'm going to 6. So. Well,
that was obviously twofold. You show on social media, so everyone thinks you're like this ninja tough geezer that gets up at 6. But my lift, I couldn't drive. And my lift would go at 6 because he had work.
I thought you'd set an alarm at 5:59, took a picture from the previous day, uploaded it at 6 and went back to bed.
I like your honesty. I mean,
but that makes sense. I never knew that. So, you're not as hard as I thought.
It is a good one, right? So my next question was, what's your favourite quote? And here's one of mine. I've got two. If you've got two frogs to eat, make sure you eat your biggest one first.
Yeah.
And I
don't worry, you got a reaction. Yet?
Yeah, I'm like,
boys, oh, no, I was thinking about my quote. That was why
I was looking at you two and I was like, do they know what it means? So basically, it means if you're doing something, and this is my best bit of advice, if you're doing something disgusting or difficult or challenging, your marathon training, you got your long run, or, you know, rowing, you've got a 20 minute output test, do it. Do it first thing. Because otherwise it's hanging over you all day. Like
ambient anxiety.
Yeah, you call that, I've done that so many times. I've been hungover when I've been like training for marathons and left like a 25K run until 9 o'clock at night. And it's just, it ruins your whole, I mean, the hangover ruins your day as well, but yeah, that's pretty rats.
I always worried I lost, I don't know what it's called, like my vicious edge. Like before I joined the Marines, I did all my other rowing training anyway. Then one day I knew I didn't do my running training and I couldn't sleep. So I went and did it like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Now I just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll just do it tomorrow. I don't know how I want to get it back, but I don't know how, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you've, well.
Still doing Ocean Rose.
Yeah, still doing Ocean Rose.
Like that vicious fucking.
It changes throughout your life, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You'll get it back. Well, I'm sure you have it anyway, but what you perceive to be your vicious edge, I think when people are around you, they see it. So it's all about perception, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a nice thing to say.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Like, saying he hasn't got a vicious edge and he's rowing the Atlantic. Like, yeah.
No, exactly.
Don't be too hard on yourself, buddy. Has anyone else got a quote for us?
One I heard recently, it's not my favourite motivational quote necessarily, but it's one that stuck with me recently. I was like, write that down. That's why you saw me on my phone there, because I just recently wrote it down. I think it was Adesanya that said it in a reel. I don't scroll Instagram reels, by the way. Someone sent it to me.
Get out of there.
Definitely do. And it's very simple. If not now, then when? And I think it's very easy. Everyone lives this idea of having a bucket list and, you know, I'll get to that. I'll do it later. You know, I want to do these things in my life down the road. And when the time's right, I'll do it. But it's so easy to delay and the years just slip through your fingers like sand. And that's something, I just had my 28th birthday, unfortunately. So I'm like, can no longer claim mid-20s anymore. and that's something that's becoming apparent. It's like, you know, I started university a decade ago and it feels like it was yesterday. Yeah. And like, yeah, I'm doing a lot with my time. But you can't slow down because, you know, we've all got like 80 years left on this planet and then that's it. So I think it's so difficult to.
I'll be lucky to get another 8 years, be 110, mate.
Yeah, I wouldn't be as well.
You could probably do 80, yeah. I'm not going to do 110.
And yeah, just like don't put things off. Just if you want something for yourself, do it now.
Yeah. That just made me think of something. So, you know, you dug me out for when I described ocean rowing to my mum. I was like, Mum, I'll bleed out in minutes. And you lot were like, yeah, oh, nice one. Yeah, your poor mother. I had another cracker this morning with Charlotte. So we're in the car and she's talking about texting and driving, which obviously I don't do. And she's like, you know, Dad. And I was like, babe, you know, can't worry about car accidents. I live a very precarious life. I'll probably die skydiving or on one of these ocean rows. And she was just looked at me. She was like, and I was like, yeah, I should not have said that.
Is this not the last ocean row?
Yeah, oh, I don't know. Do you ever think about, nah, let's get this one out of the way before.
Oh, that was one of my questions as well, yeah. I think.
I already promised my younger brother I'll do a mid-Atlantic with him at some point.
Less precarious though, slightly, than other options.
Yeah, well, I might not want to do it after the North Atlantic, but probably after a year I'll be like, yeah, sound.
Yeah.
You definitely forget how
I think you do. Yeah. Sometimes I wake up at night and I'm like that.
Ah,
fuck. <another one.
laughs> I've got the blissful ignorance on my side.
I'll just be in it. It's so much worse.
Yeah. I thought the Pacific would be quite good to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's just because you want to go to Hawaii.
I do.
I'd love to.
You can fly there, yeah?
Yeah.
Do it that way.
That'd be great.
I think about doing the Indian, but everyone says like the Indian Ocean is horrifically by far the worst.
Well, you wanted to do Australia to Africa for a while.
Yeah.
That's
a big one.
Yeah. That, but that again, the more, let's get this one out of the way first, yeah. For sure. Okay, so next question, boys, and Nutty, we'll open with yourself. What is the hardest thing you've ever done in your life?
The hardest thing I've ever done in my life. God, that's a difficult question. I'm trying to think.
Because you've done so many hard things.
I must admit, I think Royal Marines training is up there.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough.
What makes it so challenging?
I think it's a sleep deprivation. Yeah. I mean, but doing it when you're younger, I think it's the best time to do it.
Yeah.
Because you can just bounce back off, you know, sort of little niggles and injuries and things like that. The older I get, the more little niggles I have, and I'm like, nah. Yeah. But yeah, I think Royal Marines training is pretty out there.
What about you, Brucey?
Oh, yeah, I was discussing this with someone else the other night. The PRMC, which is a potential Royal Marines course, which is like a 3-day thing you go before you start training to see if you like it and if they like you. It's like the last stage before you get onto the training. And yeah, it's all subjective, right? The more hard stuff you do, the more it, that was in, was it in relation, like relatively?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the time, that was it. That was all new to me, you know? And I was like, oh, fucking hell, this is still by far the hardest thing I've ever done. But then I've done way harder things objectively since then. But the moment that I was in when I experienced that, it was harder for me in that moment than anything else.
Because it was further outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that one of the reasons I wanted to take this on as well, because I look at you three and think, like, you deal with the difficulties of everyday life fought with so much more nonchalantness than the average human because of your decades in the military and all of the tough things you've done. And, like, this will give all of us a new framework for, like, how important issues are when you come back and how difficult things are. You know, like I mentioned, Jack, obviously fairly trivial, but the ability to wake up at 6 a.m. every day when you're injured and you don't want to do anything. Whereas most people wouldn't have a hope in hell of doing that after day one or two. Mm. You know?
Yeah. He's just living true to himself though, isn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, your resilience is a muscle and you know, keeping away, like in the same way that I think keeping away anxiety is, like, you need to train yourself to just, you know, keep doing difficult things and getting up. Otherwise, it, you know, you become soft and weak.
Need to tell my missus that to out-train her anxiety. Jesus Christ.
let's leave that one there.
Yeah.
I thought you would have said something about maybe the Yukon 444, because that wasn't a tasty race, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was really hard.
What's the Yukon 44 for non-kayakers?
The race to the Midnight Sun from Whitehorse to Dawson down the Yukon, 444 miles, 715 kilometres. Did it in 67 hours, achieved third place. Funny thing, got beaten to second place by an Italian crew by 100 metres at the end. Absolutely snapped.
Devastating.
And it wasn't my fault either.
It couldn't be.
Because they said on the race briefing, they're like, by the time, bear in mind, it's like almost 3 days worth of paddling by this point. And they said, when you see the finish line, because by Dawson, the flow is really strong in that river.
Yeah.
Come way to the right of the river, because if you start in the middle, you'll just go past the finish line. You'll be too fucked to get back to the finish. So I saw this. I was in the shallow water, and then my mate, Neil Marshall, in the boat with me, he was like, Brucey, I looked over my shoulder, and this fucking Italian boat was still in the middle of the flow. And I tried as hard as I could to get it back into the flow, but it was too late, mate. And they just, I didn't know they was that close behind us that whole way, mate. Yeah, snapped about that one. But anyway, funny.
Quick question, mate. How did you deal with that? That process of missing out on second by...
Get on the piss.
Oh, I don't know. The Yukon, it is a race, but it's more of an introspective event than it is. I'm just happy that we podium finished on it. The value I got from that was that experience of that length of paddle through that remote wilderness.
Mm. That sense of, I don't know, sort of loneliness as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although you are with a kayak partner, but it's far away from anything.
Do you kayak solo? In two kayaks or as a pair?
No, you can do. You can enter that in a single kayak. I did it with my mate Neil Marshall, K2, two-man kayak.
You can even do it on a stand-up paddleboard, can't you?
Mate, some of them were really quick as well.
Yeah.
That's big in the States, this long distance.
It's tiring.
Oh, I'm diverting the poddy anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So if someone's supped over the Atlantic?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They had a little tube they could sleep in, mate.
Yeah. Supported?
No, unsupported, mate.
Yeah, so
where's the food?
That's incredible.
It's similar to an ocean rowing boat, has a cabin on the front.
A SUP is a stand-up paddleboard.
Yeah.
Bosh.
Yeah, you just have your little cabin. You get in, it's like the coffin cabin. There's all the food and...
Man, yeah. On the board? Or like...
On the board, yeah. It's like a big...
Big board.
A big old board, yeah. It doesn't look like your conventional...
Yeah, right.
Like stand-up paddleboard.
Yeah, interesting. Fair play. That's an effort. I hate standing up, so that's why I like rowing.
No, there's no more world first out there anymore, is there?
There's what?
If you want to be the world first, you have to pogo stick up Everest backwards.
Yeah.
What, so niche. So niche.
I don't, what is
paddle with your feet?
Yeah.
Like, can you think of a? Has everything been done?
Nah,
I don't want to say that. Like,
I've got something. Pedalo, mate. Yeah. Pedalo across.
Pedalo.
Yeah, that's not been done. To my awareness, it hasn't been done.
I'm sure someone's...
Windsor Swan pedalo.
Someone over in a barrel, a modified barrel. So they literally just got in. 127 days later, they landed in Barbados. Mm. Yeah.
Were they navigating that or just seeing where they washed up?
No, just seeing where they washed up.
Wow. That's fucked up. That is, it's got some stones.
It's only slightly slower than
you
yours.
Must have hated it.
Yeah, but I went further.
I can't talk.
Yeah.
You've isn't seen that, my one.
Oh, yeah. I'm crossing the barrel faster. Yeah.
They did shorter.
Just to be clear, the guy in the barrel was not quicker than me. They started in the Canaries and finished in the Caribbean. I started in Portugal, finished in America. Right, boys, I've got another question. How do you deal with the prospect of rowing the North Atlantic? And Adam, you can start. I don't think you've started on it.
I've got a very good way to deal with it. You sweep it under the carpet, forget it's happening, and then you find yourself rowing past the Statue of Liberty after 20 minutes on the oars thinking, fuck, this is a bit tough, isn't it?
Committed to the point then of no return.
coming to the realisation that, oh my God, what on earth have I signed up for? Because, yeah, like there's no amount of preparation. Like you mentioned earlier, the worst part of your mid-Atlantic was just being wet for 5 days. I am absolutely dreading that. But it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's no getting away from it.
Cold as well, too hot on the mid.
Yeah.
Can I just say as well, that is exactly how you'll be feeling. Because I remember leaving Portugal, watching it disappear and thinking, Jack, you fucking idiot. Yeah. Why did you say you were going to do this?
Yeah, yeah.
Because in my head, I was like, I've said I've got to do it. Like,
yeah.
I have to finish. I'll either do it, be successful, or I'll perish at sea.
That's how I felt on my first skydive as well. It was because I signed up for my AFF course, and it's you got to do eight like learning jumps, and then your 10 consolidation jumps. The first one, it was the same day that I did all my theory. You're meant to sleep on it and do it the next morning, but the weather was going to be shit. So bundled in the plane at like 7 p.m. just before sundown, and I was so nervous, and obviously as the plane, like first time in a skydiving plane as well, like along the runway taking off, and I remember vividly saying to myself, you idiot, why are you about to jump out of a plane? This is a ridiculous decision. Why you want this as a qualification makes no sense at all. This is absolutely petrifying. When you do your AFF, you're not connected to anyone, but you have two people holding you. I'd never done a tandem either, so it was like brand new experience. And so spent that whole this 20 minutes to get to 15,000 feet. Spent that whole time being like, I'm never doing another one again. I'm going to do this. I've said I'm going to do it. It's too late now. I'm not going to land in the plane. So I'm going to do it. We'll probably survive, and then I'll never do it again. And then got to the bottom, and I was like, yeah, it was fun, actually. I'm going to do that again. Yeah.
It's a good rush, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Unreal. Then did you get back in the plane the second time and think,
genuinely every time it gets less and less. Now I get no adrenaline from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say something else, then probably inappropriate. But now, like the adrenaline you get from the, like, still as fun and enjoyable. Like on the exit, you still get a bit of adrenaline. But as you know, because you did what, 20 odd?
26, more,
26,
yeah.
So, like, by the time you.
The last one still counts as well.
You got some adrenaline there.
Yeah. Oh, fuck me, yeah.
Oh, mate.
How do I deal with the prospect of rowing the North Atlantic? I think the way I deal with it is, and it sort of comes off the back of that, the skydiving accident, I'm like, right, if I can overcome that, I can overcome this. I'm doing it with my friends, and it's just about trying to rationalize things and not letting your head get away with itself. So you can sit there and focus on all the bad things that could go wrong, or you could focus on what you can do to mitigate those things. So clipping on, hatches closed, and then you think about all the good things as well. So get to do it with the boys. Last time I had to do it solo, so there was absolutely zero banter apart from the fucking volleyball the boys got me.
You make yourself laugh sometimes or not?
I'd laugh at myself, like when I was having a really tough day and I'd done like 20 miles. I'd get back in the cabin and go, you might as well not have bothered today, you know? You useless, worthless, good for nothing piece of shit. Or, you know, when you're on parachute anchor and you're going backwards and you just laugh and you just go, you wanted this, mate, you idiot. That's sort of how you deal with it, and that's how I'm sort of prepping myself mentally for it. Nutty, yourself?
What was the question again?
How are you dealing with the prospect of rowing the North Atlantic?
I do forget about it sometimes, and then all of a sudden I remember it and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. I think we all do that.
Yeah.
But just grab it by the horns and get on with it, really. It will be a case of jumping in the boat and rowing and then not stopping until I fucking get to the Scilly Isles.
That is something nice.
Simple as that.
Something nice about that, the fact that you can't give up. It makes you mentally stronger, because if you always have a backdoor exit, then it's so much easier to give up. Like, no matter, our tolerance for discomfort just goes through like to infinity, essentially, because there's no other option.
Yeah. No, you're right. Like, you're not going to
well, some people probably do, but you're not going to like pull that EPIRB when you've got a boat that's rowable.
Yeah.
No one's like in danger.
Yeah.
Like, they are pretty sturdy. And I think that as well helps you deal with it after, you know, the first sort of 5 days. You realise that, wow, okay, this boat isn't just going to sink over at a moment.
Yeah, she's got pedigree.
Sink over? Our first capsize, storm. Turnover. Yeah.
I think our first storm will be reassuring.
Yeah.
If we make it out of it.
Yeah. Mate, when those waves hit the side of like a fiberglass boat, it honestly sounds like someone's hitting it with a sledgehammer.
Can you sleep through that?
Well,
I think I was. I think tired.
I was. I think I was on parachute anchor because I just promptly remember I was like, Jesus, are these going to hold? I mean, they did hold because I'm here.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think you probably. Yeah, you're so tired when you're rowing. All right, boys. Final question. And it's actually one of Brucey's question. Brucey got asked, "What is the biggest cock up you've ever had in your life, or failure, and how did you deal with it?" Brucey, as you got asked this question, I'll let you open.
Pulled off the visors once, which was bad. But I was fucked. Like that, I think I mentioned it in an earlier pod, didn't we? That 125 mile kart race, I stopped at mile 85.
Hmm.
I was pretty beaten up about that for a while.
Yeah. What? How come you stopped?
Just went off too hard, mate.
Just, yeah, just didn't have nothing left. Ian build it.
Didn't pace it very well.
Well, obviously not. Did you do the first 85 miles pretty quickly, though?
Yeah, like the first 60. And it's 60, like,
yeah.
Like full-blown fucked, mate. Like, delusionally fucked. Carrying on, it's always difficult with hindsight, because I'm like, that's why it's difficult.
Yeah.
I probably could have just finished it. No. But at the time, it didn't feel like I could have finished it. But then afterwards, I'm like, well... Why
you're delusional going on the tideway, that's pretty dangerous, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's easy, as soon as that, it's like the reason you guys want to row an ocean again after knowing how uncomfortable it was, like, it's because you forget how difficult it was. You now are forgetting how absolutely fucked you were in that moment, and you think, no, well, I feel better now, so surely I could just do it, but now isn't then, you know?
Mate, if you remembered, people say you think about life through rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah.
If humans in general remembered how hard things were, they'd just live in a perpetual state of disarray.
Yeah.
They'd just be, like, in a bad way constantly.
Yeah.
So, of course, you don't remember how hard something is.
Yeah.
Hmm.
If women remembered how hard something is, we'd probably only... We'd never have siblings, would we? You'd have your first child and you'd never go through pregnancy.
There's an actual hormone release that blocks women from like remembering the pain of childbirth.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know
it's
that.
A physiological thing. It's crazy.
Do you think we can get some little jars of that for this row?
Jars of that. Bring some pregnant women and extract their blood.
Yeah, birth. What is it? When they cry through childbirth, if you have their tears, mate, drink them and just forget about all the pain.
Yeah, where do we get that
idea
from?
Right now?
Oh, right.
Awesome.
Go on then. What was your biggest?
I can't think of it at the moment.
Oh, biggest failure, isn't
biggest
it?
Biggest failure. Yeah.
It's I've had so many failures, and I've like things are constantly going wrong.
Yeah.
Even though I try and give off this impression that my life's amazing, and it's pretty all right. But like, you know. There's many things I could name and some things that I wouldn't name because I'm still like working through them emotionally.
Yeah.
But the underlying thing that always carries me through is like whenever things are difficult, you can look at where you are now or whenever you've got the prospect of something difficult coming up, you can look at where you are right now and think I've got 100% success rate of getting over every single difficult thing so far that's brought me to this moment right now. Like look at all of us sat around this table, like every single time you've been hanging out and just like in a really bad way, like still right now you're sat around this table and you're all right. So, you know, every bad thing that's happened, every time you failed, like I said before at the start about winning is just trying. And it's like, you know, you're going to have huge failures and having that anchor of things are going to be okay again. And even when you're in your worst state, trying to hold on to that memory of like things, unless you die,
yeah,
things will be okay. You know, even if like, say we all finish this really horrible thing to say, we all finish this row and we lose all of our legs. Like, that's not going to be a very good outcome. But I guarantee in 10 years' time, we'll all have the mental framework to look after it and look at it and be like, it's not so bad that happened. I've done this and that and that, and my life's been good.
Yeah, that would be some rotten luck, wouldn't it? For some reason, we all get...
We get really famous, though. We'd get a big crew payout.
crew that lost eight legs.
Who'd give us a payout?
I don't know. Just everyone,
society,
make
Chris Martin.
All of these lads lost all of their legs.
What mechanism do you think that could happen? Simultaneously lose their lower limbs?
Good question. Multiple jumping shark attack. And yeah. I've been asked that question by like a 5-year old, mate. Yeah. For some reason, he's just manic multiple dogs.
I beat a tiger shark in a fight in my dream like 4 nights ago.
Do you know what makes me laugh?
It was out. I was on the side of the swimming pool, just kicking it away.
People say their dreams mean something, Adam's like, oh, "I had a fight with a shark." I know our biggest failure recently: going to Muay Thai and thinking we'd be hard as fuck. Turns out we're weak as piss, uncoordinated, and soft.
Yeah,
and just getting beaten up by Thai blokes.
I was way worse than I thought I was going to be.
Oh mate, we both suck. Don't worry about it. Right, guys, that is the end of episode 5. We've got loads more questions to go for, so stick around for episode 6, part 2. Thank you for watching. And subscribe, like, follow. Cheers.